Well, this evening, we're gonna look at Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Brian, is that little?
She didn't want to hear me be quiet.
I know brethren do, but.
Is that better? Better now?
Very good.
So in chapter 2, oh, I'm sorry, we're gonna look at Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And in chapter 2, Paul sets down certain principles by which God is going to judge us by. So in chapter 1, we had Paul was revealing the unrighteousness of man and all the problems and trouble that come with that. And now in chapter 2, he's going to reveal the self-righteousness of man. And also, when we become self-righteous, it's 1 through 16. It says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourselves because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepented heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." So here we see in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, that Paul's teaching agrees with Jesus' teaching when he's talking about judging others. And in Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5, we have Jesus who's talking to us. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So here we see that a lot of times when we're self-righteous and we think that we're better than others, it's very easy to go around and say, "You're wrong," or "You're doing this wrong." I know for myself, when I struggle and I'm having problems, it's easier to look at someone else and start working on their problems instead of having to address my own problems. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. If you fix yourself, then you can try and fix others. But also, when you judge other people, you're taking the position of a judge. As in doing that, we create our own standards and our own morals. And that's very dangerous because we then start to base how God will judge others by our own standards. We'll start to believe, well, God's going to judge you by this. And that's not true, and that's not the case. God is the ultimate judge, and he will not judge us by our standards, but by his standards. And Paul is going to reveal the principles by which God will judge. And that first principle is found in verse 2. And it says, "Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth." So here Paul's telling us God's judgment will be based on truth. And the truth in a dictionary, the definition of it is conformity to fact or actuality or reality. And it's the reality of a situation. Also, we know as Christians, truth is God's word. It's the Bible. And the truth in God's word. And in Jesus' prayer for his disciples, in John 17, verse 17, Jesus prays, "Sanctify them by your truth. The word is truth." And so again, we have God's truth here in the Bible. And that's what God is going to judge us by. There's no gray in the Bible. It's white or black. That's it. And that's, God is just. He's righteous. That's how he's going to judge us. Also, the word sanctify, the definition to that is to set apart for sacred use, to consecrate, to make holy, or to purify. And again, in God's word, we have how to receive God's grace and to become all those things, how to be set apart, how to be holy, how to be purified. And we find out that it's all found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will help us get that. And obviously, on the day of judgment, he will complete that for us. But we find all those things in God's word. And so God has given us the opportunity to do that. And then in verse 3, it says, "So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment?" And again, this kind of goes back to chapter 1. Because God is not acting right away once you commit a sin or a crime or anything like that, God doesn't just hammer you down. There's a reason why. And when judging others by our standards, do we think that we can escape God's judgment? There is an author, his name is Robert Govett, and he calls attention to four ways of escape of a person who breaks human law compared to God's judgment. And the first one he has is that their offenses will not be discovered. So you could do a crime. No one would probably know it was you. You can get away with that. You can get away from it. The second example that he has is the person may escape beyond the jurisdiction of the court. And again, when I was looking into that, states all have agreements with other states, depending on the crime, depending on the dollar amount, and also the violence of the crime, that if I did something in California and it wasn't that, violent or a huge dollar amount, if I just maybe broke into a car and took something and maybe it was worth $400, and I left to Arizona, and I get caught in Arizona, and they know it was me that did it here in California. I go to Arizona, and I get picked up for something else. Well, that jurisdiction of the Arizona court, they won't have that jurisdiction to prosecute me for the crime in California. And so each state, it's funny how that works, but they all have agreements. And so you can escape beyond the jurisdiction of the court. The third example that he had is after arrest, there may be some legal technicality which will cause a breakdown of the legal procedure. So again, maybe they did catch me breaking into the car and we go all, I don't know how the process works, but I go down, I get booked, I confess, yes, I broke into the car, I took this, and then they didn't read me my rights during this process. They're going to drop all the charges. There was a legal technicality in that. And then the fourth example that he has is after conviction, he may escape from prison and stay undercover. And again, that can happen if you escape. Whether you stay in the city or state that you're at, or if you flee to somewhere else, as long as you don't get in trouble, you can kind of lay under the law. Again, you can get away with that offense or that crime. But when it comes to God's judgment, none of these avenues of escape are open to man in regards to God's divine judgment. So with the first one, all of your offenses will be revealed, not just the ones you get caught for. All of them will be revealed. And the second one is you cannot go beyond God's jurisdiction. God is everywhere, not just here on the earth. You couldn't escape to another universe. God, his jurisdiction is everywhere, so you can't go beyond his jurisdiction. And there will be no legal technicality. It's going to be black or white. It's just going to be there. And then you will never be able to escape the prison of hell. And so again, that his judge is going, or his judgment will be righteous and just. In verses 4 and 5, it says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. And so here, the purpose of God's kindness is to give man the opportunity for repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so when his righteous judgment will be revealed, there's going to be in store for those that are going to face his wrath a eternity of damnation. It's just, it's going to be terrible. It's not something that, obviously, that we want or that we want for anyone else. And for us as believers and as Christians, we see in 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. So on that day, only because of Jesus, Jesus will justify us. He will make us pure and acceptable in God's sight, and we will receive a crown of righteousness, which is just incredible. And again, it's because of Jesus. And also in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man that he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And so, speaking of Jesus there, and when God judges, it will be just, and it will be through Jesus. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, it wasn't just, let me just bring him back and he'll come back to me. That's an example and a declaration that we're all going to be raised from the dead if we're dead at that time when he comes. And we're all going to be judged. That's the example that God is showing for us. And so there's, I guess if you could say, we obviously we believe, but there's proof that there is going to be a day of judgment. And that proof is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's going to prove us to be worthy to the Father. And in verse 6, it says that God will repay each person according to what they have done. So again, Jesse had touched base on this last week, that Paul's not saying that you can do works to bring salvation to yourself. What he's saying here is that you're not saved by what you do, but it's your faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Amen. And that's what Paul is alluding to. And it says, Paul's also referring to the persistence in doing good as proof of a genuine faith. And I think Jesse had touched base on this last week too. In James 2:14, it says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" And the answer is no. Faith by itself, you have to continually try to do good deeds. Some deeds, and the deeds that we're going to use as an example that Paul uses are found in verse 4 and 5. It says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." So these are just a few of the deeds that will reap God's wrath. And that's if you show contempt for God's patience, if you just figure that's never, judgment's not going to come. If you also show contempt for his kindness and you are stubborn and unrepentant, you are going to face God's wrath. But in verses 8 and 9, it shows example of those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, and those who do evil. So those are some examples of those that are going to face God's wrath. But then in verses 7 and 10, it reveals to deeds that lead to eternal life. And in verse 7, it says, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life." And then in verse 10, it says, "But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." So here we see that those that are persistent in doing good and seek glory, honor, and immortality, but glory and peace for everyone who does good. So those are things that will bring us to salvation. And then in verse 16, it says, "This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." So God will judge our secrets. And again, in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So in conclusion of this lesson this evening, for the principles that God is going to judge us by, are the first one is it will be according to truth, which is his word. We're going to be held accountable to his word. The second one is you cannot escape his judgment. Third is it will be a righteous judgment. It will be true and just. And fourth, we will be judged individually by our own deeds and not because of anyone else or anything else. And fifth is our secrets will be judged also. But because of God's love, he has prepared a plan of salvation for us. He's given us a way to make ourselves whole before him. And that plan of salvation is you have to hear the word of God. You have to hear the gospel. And in Romans 10:17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." That's, you have to hear. And then after hearing, you have to believe it. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And after hearing and believing, you need to repent. You need to turn from your life of sin. And it says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too all will perish. And that was in Luke 13, verse 3. And then you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or as the Son of God. And that's found in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. It says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And then you need to be baptized. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then when we do those things, we need to continue on faithfully. Hebrews 10:25 says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so at the close of this lesson, we do have a song of invitation that Brian's going to sing. But also, if there's any needs that you might have, if there's a prayer request or any special needs that you have, during this song, feel free to come up and ask for those prayers or any of those needs. Make those, present those to us at that time. And then also, if you don't feel comfortable coming up in front of everybody, you can find myself, Brian, or some other people in this congregation, and we can sit down and pray with you privately or talk to you privately about what seems to be troubling you. So we can stand at this time and sing.